life really encapsulates God's love and how he showed it to us. And G. Campbell Morgan said in regard to this verse that this is a text that I have never attempted to preach on, though I have gone around it and gone around it. It is too big when I have read it and there is nothing else to say. If we only knew how to read it so as to produce a sense of it in the ears of the people, there would be nothing to preach about, nothing left to preach about. And just the immensity of God's love, none of us can really fully explain. None of us can fully show God's love tonight. I know definitely myself, I'm not going to be able to show that to us tonight. But how should that love of Christ affect us as believers? Especially when you think of passages like we see in John 15. This verse, John 15, verse 12. I'll read that. John 15, 12. This is a pretty big command here as we look at this. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. All right, if we even just stopped right there, that would be a challenge to us. Love one another. But then it goes on to say, as I have loved you. That's a big command to fulfill. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. To think that we could even become a friend of God, even by fulfilling this verse, is an amazing thought to think about, to contemplate, that God considers us his friend if we obey his commands, if we obey this command to love one another as I have loved you. Also, we see in Philippians 2, it says, you can turn there with me. Philippians 2, I'll read this verse. These verses here in Philippians 2, just a few of them. Philippians 2, 2 through 5. And think about the depth of these verses and the selfless love of Jesus Christ. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. This is the key verse I want to focus on. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's a challenging verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I would like just to challenge each one of us as we think about these introductory verses. How can we have the mind of Christ in us? The love for the brethren. How can we love the brethren as Christ has shown his love to us? Also think about 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, I believe it is. It says in 1 John 4:11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We all know that God loved us, but John is saying, you know what, the natural thing that should happen is that we should love one another. And obviously there's love in today's society has been really brought down. People don't understand truly what love means. But when we think about love of the Savior, when we look at the love of the Savior, we see selflessness. We see forgiveness. We see faithfulness. We see love that doesn't expect anything in return. That's the love of our Savior. That's the love that we want to focus on tonight. The love that we need to show. But first we have to look at that love before we can know how we should love other people. The first passage that we would like to turn to tonight is in Romans 8, to focus on our main point here. The first point, the characteristics of God's love. And that first one is found in Romans 8, verse 35 to 39. We're just going to see the inseparability of God's love to us as believers. To those who have been saved, God's love is inseparable. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. No matter where you are on your journey in your life, God's love is there. Nothing can separate you from God's love. No matter if someone is wandering away from God as a believer, God's love is right there, ready to restore, ready to forgive. And at any point in the journey where you are, God's love is always there. Doesn't matter how far a person has strayed from God, because they are a child of God, because they are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's love is right there, ready to forgive, ready to restore. And that is an amazing thought, to think how God's love is like that. No matter, in one sense, how terrible something someone has done, God's love is ready to restore. God's love is right there. He doesn't hate them, but he loves them. And as believers, no matter what we're going through in our lives, God's love is right there. God doesn't just show his love because we're these good people. No, God shows his love because we're his children, because he loves us. It's an unassuming love. When we're going through trials, no matter what we're going through, God's love is right there. To look to be a comfort to us, that is God's love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And just that verse in 37, point we'll emphasize later, it says, you know what? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are conquerors through Christ, the one who loved us. And we need to take time to meditate on these verses, are you persuaded that nothing can separate you from the love of God? What are you going through tonight that you think, I don't know if God loves me? I do not know if God loves me. I haven't seen his love upon my life. We need to be persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Think of the Apostle Paul. Someone had been through prison, imprisonment. Someone had been beaten, whipped, tortured. I don't know exactly what all of you have gone through, but the Apostle Paul is someone who went through this torture throughout his whole life as a minister of the gospel. And he could say this. He was persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. So we see that God's love is inseparable. We can never be separated from God's love. We also see the sacrifice of God's love. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah 53. This is a passage that we all know very well. Isaiah 53. And a lot of times we use this, I know I use it when I'm witnessing to someone, to show them how Christ paid the penalty for our sin and how that through Christ we can have forgiveness of sins. But I think it was important to take time to realize the sacrifice of God's love that he took upon himself to die for us. Because even after we're saved, we still sin. And Christ still died for those sins. And the sins that we are doing right now had an impact, and they have an impact. Christ suffered for those sins. Starting in verse 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We didn't have to pay anything for our healing, for our forgiveness of sins. Christ took that upon himself. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. See the sacrifice here. The iniquity, our iniquity, laid on Jesus Christ. Verse 7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. You know, when we're oppressed, when we're spoken evil against, when we're accused falsely, what do? We often want to lash out. We want to lash back against those that are speaking against us. And if anyone had a right to do that, that was Jesus Christ. But when he was evil spoken against, when he was falsely accused, when he was oppressed, afflicted by our sins, he didn't say a word. What he did say was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What do we say when we're confronted? And yet, this is the love of Christ, a characteristic of God's love, his sacrifice, as the Son of God, taking upon himself the sins of humanity, having that fellowship broken during that time when the sins were laid upon him. So we see the sacrifice, the inseparability of God's love. And the third thing I'd just like to point out, I didn't know exactly how to word this, but God is the one who initiated this love to us. We didn't initiate our love to God, but God initiated his love to us. In 1 John 4:10 shows us this truth. And it says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. We think of God's love. It's a love that we didn't earn from him. We didn't do anything to get God's love. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, he was the one who came searching for Adam and Eve. He was the one that came and sought us out for salvation. He is the one that draws all men to himself. And true love is not something that when someone does something to us, oh, I'm just going to love them back. Yeah, that is loving, to be kind to one another, to show kindness when someone does something to you. But this love is even a deeper love, in that this love was not initiated at all by us, but a holy God showed his love to an imperfect humanity. And it just makes me think, it's so hard sometimes for us to just show our love to other people. And yet, we never deserved God's love being showed to us. So we see the characteristics of God's love, its inseparability, it's the sacrifice of God's love. And even as we looked in Philippians, the selflessness of God's love. And also, just that God initiated this love to us. And as we think of John 15, verse 12, how it says, let me just flip back real fast and read that again. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So we've just briefly looked over a few passages that have showed God's love to us. This is how we're supposed to love others. Obviously, we can never go to that extent of giving our life to pay the penalty for the sins of the world. But we can give our lives for others. We can give our lives to give the gospel out. We can love the brethren in these ways of being selfless, of showing love even when love isn't returned, of being kind even when others may not be kind to us, showing forgiveness even when it may be really hard to forgive. Because that's how God loved us. That is how God expects us to love one another. And let me just ask you tonight, are you loving the brethren? Are you loving as Christ loved us? Especially within the context of the church. Are we loving one another as brethren? Just a verse that I read the other day in Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse 2. It says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. This is what we are supposed to be doing as a body of Christ, forbearing one another in love, lifting up one another in love, strengthening one another in love. This is our calling as Christians, to forbear one another in love. And what are the results of God's love? The second point that I have tonight is, what are the results of God's love? Well, one of the, obviously the main results is that we have been made the children of God. We find that in this is spoken about in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." We have been made the children of God. This is one of the results of God's love. We have been made the children of God. And we, this verse is commanding us to behold that, to think about it, to meditate. This is a command that we need to do. We need to be thinking about God's love to us. This isn't an option that we can do sometimes. And I know I do it far too little, thinking about God's love to us and what manner of love he bestowed upon us. But we have been made the children of God. And as a child of God, we keep reading in those verses, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Imagine that. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And I can't really explain it much more than that. It explains it pretty clearly, that we are going to be made like him, because we're going to see him as he is. But in one sense, even here today, we can know Christ, because this is the word of God. This is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ right here. And as we read his word, as we meditate upon it, as we get ourselves into the word of God every morning, every day, we can be made like Christ. We can be made like Christ as we read his word, because we are a child of God. And another result of God's love as being a child of God is, not only shall we be like him, but we see in verse 3 of chapter 1 John 3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." We need to be made pure like the Son of God. And when a person meditates on the love of God, when they realize the immensity of God's love, and what Jesus Christ did to give his life, to sacrifice for us, to become his son, to become God's son, we will naturally want to be pure like God is pure. We will naturally hate sin and detest sin, and we will purify ourselves. Is that happening in your life tonight? Is that love for God causing you to get sin out of your life? To cause you to become more like Christ tonight. Also, not only are we made the children of God, but we are made conquerors through Christ's love, which we already showed, which we already read in Romans 8. But let's visit that passage again. In Romans 8, I'll just read those three verses again, 35 to 37. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." That is a result of God's love. We are more than conquerors. And are you experiencing that tonight? Being a more than a conqueror through Christ. It's not just we are conquerors through Christ. No, we are more than conquerors. And this should be something that's happening in every Christian's life here tonight. We should be conquering. We should be winning over Satan, over sin, over the desires in our hearts that are wrong. We should be overcoming those, because Christ loved us. Through Christ, we do have that victory. He has conquered. And we are to be more than conquerors through Him. That verse right there states that it's not a maybe we are more than conquerors. No, it says we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Do you believe that tonight? Or are you defeated under the weight of sin in your life? No, this verse says that we are more than conquerors through Him, through Jesus Christ. And tonight you need to claim that victory over whatever you're struggling with tonight, whether it's just discouragement, whether it's some temptation. Claim the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that we are more than conquerors through Him. Take the way of escape through Jesus Christ, through the one who has made us more than conquerors. Another result, not only are we made the children of God, and we are more than conquerors, but thirdly, we can love others. As we already read this verse a few times tonight, but John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Because we are more than conquerors, and because Christ has given us this command, we know that this command can be fulfilled. We know that we can love as Christ loved us, as Christ has loved us. We know that we can give our lives for one another. We can give of our lives to one another. And that's the expectation of God. Because of Christ's love, we can love others. Also, we can forgive others. 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter 4:8. Why don't we just all turn to 1 Peter 4:8 and look at this verse for yourselves. This is a good verse to look at. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. This definitely gets down to our level as human beings. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. As we work with one another in a church setting, we're working with humans. None of us are going to be perfect. None of us are going to be perfect in our ministry one to another. We might have little flukes in us or little things in us that might irritate us every once in a while. But you know what? Charity covers a multitude of sins. Charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You know, this doesn't mean we excuse sin. This doesn't mean we overlook sin. A lot of people in today's society want to use love to say, you know, you can take the grace of God, you can take God's love, and you can do whatever you want. But Jude talks about that they're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, turning it into whatever they want it to be, making an excuse for whatever they want to do. No, that's not God's love. The love of God isn't saying, oh, I can do whatever I want to do. No, the love of God does allow us, though, to forgive one another, does allow us to show charity, that selfless love to one another. And it's not just for covering sins. Which means, really, when it says charity shall cover the multitude of sins, that means, you know what? I'm not going to hold those against people. If someone does something to me, I'm not going to hold that against that person. I'm going to forgive them because Christ forgave me. And when we consider God's love, we know how to forgive. Because He forgave the sins of the whole world, we should be able to easily forgive one another in different things that may come up. And above all things, the first part of that verse says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. We didn't look at the passage of this scripture, but obviously this is at the top of the list. Show fervent charity one to another. And this gives the idea of something that's an intense desire, and an important thing to show that charity, that self-sacrificial love to one another. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to not hold grudges against people. So we see that we are made the children of God. We are made more than conquerors. We can love others through Christ's love as a result of God's love. We can forgive as a result of God's love. We can also show love even when there is no love in return. Obviously, that was Christ's love to us. The day that He hung on the cross, He wasn't getting any love in return. But you know what? we can show that love without expecting anything in return. In 1 John 4:11, it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And then in 1 John 3, it says, another verse here that I'd just like to look at. It says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." No, when we don't love the brethren, when we aren't loving the brethren as we ought, we're abiding in death. Our spiritual life won't be living. We're going to be in death. And when we're holding grudges one against another, or when we're upset at someone else in the church, we can't have the blessing of God upon our lives. But we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And obviously at salvation is really when that transaction takes place, when we're passed from death unto life. But you know what? It goes on to say, "He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Why would you want to go back to that place, to that position, in one sense, where you were before salvation, of death? No, we need to be in that position of life, where we're showing love. And loving the brethren, according to this verse, is life. The opposite is true. It brings life when we love the brethren. And this is such an important truth, I think, in today's society, in today's day, that we are quick to forgive, that we are quick to show love to one another. You know what? The world isn't going to be a strength to us. No, as a body of Christ, we need to strengthen one another to love Christ, to go on in our Christian walk with the Lord. But if we aren't showing love, then the body of Christ can't function as it needs to. So when we think about the results of God's love, that we are made the children of God, we are made more than conquerors, we can show love to others, we can forgive, we can show love even when we aren't loved, and that we can love the brethren, this ought to motivate us to love as Christ loved. And another verse that I wanted to share was in 1 Peter 2. Just these verses really show our response to others when things happen against us. In 1 Peter 2:23, it says, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Jesus Christ, when he was reviled, he didn't revile again. He didn't revile back. He didn't strike back at these people. He didn't destroy them. He just was quiet. He threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And when these things do happen to us, when in our spirit, it's like we feel that rise in our spirit when someone does something to us, we just need to remember that we need to commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to commit ourselves to Christ because God is the one who's going to judge. We don't need to judge one another when this happens. We don't need to strike back in anger or retaliation. We need to commit ourselves to him that judgeth righteously. And you know, when there is something that does come up, we can't just necessarily pass it over. We need to, in love, go to one another. If there is something that needs to be addressed in another believer's life, Galatians 6 talks about that we need to restore one another in the spirit of humility, considering thyself. But you know what? There's no place for anger, for irritation, any of that in the body of Christ. There should be love, fervent charity, one toward another to cover the multitude of sins. And when we think about the love of Christ, when we're focusing on the love that Christ had to us, it's really easy, in one sense, to show that love to one another because we're not focused on ourselves. When we're focused on ourselves, it is really hard to show forgiveness, to show love one to another. But when we focus on the love of Jesus Christ and that love he had to us, when we've taken time to think about how much we do not deserve the love of God, how much we do not deserve eternal life, the little things around us that might bother us just go away. They go away when we focus on the love of Christ that he had to us. And when we're focused on ourselves, we can't accomplish the task that God has for us to win the lost. To win the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're not going to be able to love those around us if we're focused on ourselves, if we're focused on even our daily life and the things that all that might take up our life. We need to be focusing on the love of Christ, how much he has loved us. We need to behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, so that we can allow, so we can know how to love other people, so we can know how to love the brethren. Because we are not going to be able to fulfill that command to love one another as Christ hath loved us if we don't know the love of Christ. So tonight, challenge is to get to know the love of Christ. Take time today, tonight, right now, to think about the love of Christ and how nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. How we in no wise deserved the love of Christ. How our sins put Jesus Christ on the cross. Even what you did today that wasn't right, what I did today that was right, that put Jesus Christ on the cross. That'll not only cause us to fear God more, to desire not to sin against him, but that will cause us to know when we think about God's love, it'll cause us to love one another in a true love because we know how Christ loved. Let us tonight take this challenge to love one another as Christ hath loved us, seriously. And let's put that into practice. You know what? There may be something that God brought to your mind. I don't know every situation here tonight. But you know what? God may have brought something to your mind that you know that you haven't been showing love one to another. Don't pass that up. Don't just brush it off. Take care of it tonight. If there's been contention among people in the body of Christ here at McQuonigal Baptist Church, you know about it. Maybe no one else does. Maybe people do know about it. Take care of that tonight so that we can be unified to fulfill the Great Commission, so that we can have God's power upon our church. Stop and consider tonight the love of Christ. Take time this evening to consider that, to think about it. Thank the Lord for saving you, for saving your soul, and allow that to transform your life today. That is it is a transforming truth, to think that we are more than conquerors through Christ's love. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for saving us. I thank you, Lord, that we can call you our Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you for forgiving us of our sins. And Lord, I thank you that we are made more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And Lord, whatever your people may be struggling with tonight, may they realize that they can be overcomers through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his love. And Lord, may we meditate and may we not forget the love of Christ that you showed to us in dying on Calvary. And I pray, Lord, that that would just transform our lives as we interact with lost people. Lord, as we interact with each other, may we show fervent charity one toward another. May we show the love of Christ one to another in all our dealings. Lord, help us to do this. We know that in our strength, this is impossible. But we know, Lord, that through your strength, we are conquerors. And I just pray that you would bless this prayer time to follow. And I pray this in your name. Amen.